You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. We've got a handful of voicemails to get into. We've kind of shied away from those in the last few weeks with the Bulls just starting up, and we had a few guests. So we're going to play as many voicemails as we can get to on today's episode. So keep dropping those for us. We'd love to hear from you. 331-979-1369. Happy Friday, Matt. Welcome back. Got the Hornets again tonight. It is going to be an uphill battle. I'm just crossing my fingers we don't get blown out by 30.
Well, I think we might be seeing a ticked-off Kemba Walker, because that guy's certainly going to be motivated to get a W tonight on his home floor. And he was held, for the most part, in check. I mean, I know he poured in, 20, 23 points in that game on Wednesday. But for Kemba, we were expecting a lot more. So between that and now the loss of Bobby Portis, you're right. It'll certainly be tougher for the Bulls to get a W tonight as opposed to the game on Wednesday.
So a couple of things we're going to do on today's episode include go through John Paxson made an appearance on 670 The Score this morning with the Mully and Haw show. So just wanted to grab the best comments and the most notable things from that radio show this morning for Bulls fans out there. Then we're going to preview the Hornets game a little bit, see what kind of rotations Fred might use tonight. And on top of that, going to take all of your voicemails at 331-979-1369 at the back end of the episode. So let's dive into it, Matt. But first, I got to give you a little bit of shit, because we got tagged on Twitter in a bunch of different articles today about thin crust pizza being better than Chicago deep dish. And I'm just telling you, man, like, I'm not alone here in the fact that saying that, you know, deep dish is great once in a while, but mostly is a tourist pizza for the real Chicagoans around here.
That's the biggest load of bullshit I've ever heard. I don't care what articles people tagged us in about, oh, no, it's true, Chicagoans really prefer thin crust. All right, get the hell out. No, deep dish is the best kind of pizza. I'm not saying that you're not a true Chicagoan if you only eat deep dish. That's dumb. Yes, I eat thin crust from time to time. But to make the argument that most Chicagoans prefer thin crust to deep dish or think that thin crust is better than deep dish, that's just asinine. Get that out of here.
I don't know how we pulled this or not, but maybe I'll throw it up on our Locked On Bulls Twitter and see what our fan base enjoys eating, deep dish or thin crust, here in Chicago. But I'm just telling you, I'm not alone on this. But
I know you're not alone. That doesn't make you not stupid.
It makes me right, though. It makes me stupid, but it could make me right too.
It doesn't. There is a a greater than one number of Bulls fans who thought that they could contend for like the fourth or fifth seed this season.
Oh, man.
That doesn't mean they're alone, but it also doesn't mean that they're right.
You're throwing thin crust stands in with the 40-plus win Bulls teams?
Yes. I'm guessing that that is a fairly significant overlap if it were to be in a Venn diagram.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. All right, let's get into some of these comments from John Paxson on 670 The Score today. I think the most notable one I have to start with is him bringing up Chandler Hutchison potentially starting tonight.
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, internally, we have 15 roster spots, and we have two-way contracts in the G League. So, you know, we're not going to waive somebody to add something. We're going to have to do it internally. And that will mean now, because we're down Lowry and Bobby Portis, you know, that power forward spot is probably going to be, a combination of players. We'll probably have to play small. Our other rookie, Chandler Hutchison, will probably get an opportunity to play minutes in that area. And talking to Fred and Jim Boylan after the game the other night, their thought at that time was to start Chandler and keep Jabari coming off the bench. But, you know, anytime I was in these situations as a player, and guys go down, and it is an opportunity for players that normally don't get a lot of minutes to play. And we'll see what we have.
Which kind of makes sense. If you think about it, if the Bulls were to start Justin Holiday and Jabari Parker in the starting rotation, who do you have to come off the bench and score points? So it's, in some facets, it makes sense that Jabari has felt comfortable in that role off the bench already where Fred moved him, and to keep him there would make sense, you know, from on paper standpoint. But I don't know, Chandler Hutchison's going to have an uphill battle if he's got to be the guy that's going to be in the starting lineup tonight against the Hornets.
Yeah, and if he gets matched up with Batum, that's a tough task.
It's a recipe for success.
But I can't necessarily disagree with Pax's reasoning and logic there. And, you know, it sounded like Fred and his staff have already talked to John about where to go from here now that Bobby's out. You and I talked about it a little bit yesterday, assuming that Portis would be out for an extended period of time, which it is. It's a sprained MCL. It's 4 to 6 weeks. And the fact that if you take Jabari out of that second unit, like, you don't have a go-to scorer in that second unit, and that would be a big problem. And Jabari in that second unit looked about as good as they have all season in their game on Wednesday. So with all these injuries, trying to find some level of consistency, it makes sense. And I think you and I also have both talked on the show about how, you know, Justin Holiday is Justin Holiday. He has good games and he has bad games, but he is not a part of this team's future. And it's a little concerning that a guy that they gave a draft promise to at 22 didn't seem to be good enough or ready enough to crack Fred's initial rotation. But here we are. Injuries provide opportunities for others. And considering what the Bulls invested in this kid, and that he is the turnaround we got from trading Nico, who's off killing it in New Orleans right now, I would like to see him get thrown in the deep end. Show us what you got, Chandler. And on Wednesday, he made some pretty decent plays on both ends of the court that gave me a little bit more optimism than what I had watching him sit on the bench for the first few games of the season. So, I mean, Fred needs warm bodies. Throw Chandler into that starting five and see what you got.
Yeah, I agree. Why not at this point? Like, I know Fred's still in the point where he's got to make the best choices for the best outcomes on the floor, but at the same time, four-year player from college, he's got to play. You're down to the point where you're missing four rotation pieces, two starters. He's got to play out of necessity at the very least. So, yeah, I mean, running with a lineup that's going to probably look like Cameron Payne, Zach LaVine, Justin Holiday, Chandler Hutchison, and then Wendell Carter Jr. Like, Pax talked about running teams small and how the NBA is going small now. I don't know if they're going that small with putting a rookie that's 6'7". I know he's got a wingspan just slightly over 7 feet, but still putting him at the power forward position. It works for now in this matchup against the Hornets, because the Hornets play with a lot of wings and play a lot of wings at the four instead of at the three. So it might not be as bad as maybe some other matchups that we're going to see. Oh, I don't know, Monday night when the Bulls have to play the Golden State Warriors. But at least for right now, maybe Hutchinson can build off the performance he had last night. And he also touched on, too, Pax said that, you know, it's not about guys who are starting. It's ultimately about the minutes that you're getting. And we repeated that multiple times when we talked about Jabari Parker. It doesn't matter if he starts or if he comes off the bench at the second unit. The most important is who's closing out those games. So I would not imagine Chandler Hutchinson's going to be on the floor to close out games. Rather, it'd be Parker and Holiday. So, yeah, they're going to have to be creative tonight, that's for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not like Chandler's going to be asked to do a whole lot of, you know, offensive.
Just play defense, you know, man, yeah, and grab boards.
Play defense, grab boards, run up and down that court. You know, make hustle plays. Occasionally, if you want to, you know, make a cut to the basket. We saw him make some pretty aggressive moves on Wednesday. He had that ferocious dunk that none of us saw coming where he did put his athleticism on display. But, yeah, as you said, for the most part, play some defense. Show the effort and get up and run, grab rebounds and run, or grab rebounds and, you know, look for those quick outlet passes, because those are the strengths of his game right now.
The other thing I wanted to play too for our listeners who didn't get a chance to catch this interview, another thing they brought up, the idea of are with the amount of depleted roster space that you have, the guys that are depleted in your starting lineup and your rotation pieces, are you going to look outside the Bulls in order to make a move to try and fill a space? And flatly, Paxson said, no, we're not going to waive anybody on this roster. We only have 15 spots. We're not going to waive anybody to make a move to sign somebody. So he said, we're just going to have to look internally. He brought up the two guys, Tyler Ulis and Raleigh Alkins, but at the same time, still, you've got a crowded point guard position where a lot of those guys are undersized. In Raleigh Alkins, we haven't seen hardly anything from him. We didn't even see him in preseason, so I don't know how much you can rely on either one of those guys, so it's going to look like, I don't know, Felicio, Hutchison, Archie Diacono, Blakeney, all of these guys are going to get major run over the next 4 to 6 weeks with Portis, Dunn, Markkanen, and Valentine not really having a timetable for a return either. So a lot of these guys are going to have to step up, but it's all going to come internally as opposed to maybe the Bulls looking for a trade.
Yeah, and I guess the final thought I had on Paxson's interview this morning, because you mentioned some of these guys who will probably get more minutes. You mentioned Archie Diacono. That was the other takeaway I had from Paxson, because he was asked about the really strong game campaign had on Wednesday, you know, draining all those threes in clutch moments as the Bulls were fighting through the second half of that game.
Well, the hardest thing for, you know, I say this all the time, the hardest thing for players is to find that consistency in their game night in, night out. And Cameron's struggled with his consistency. You know, I know when you're a coach, you like players that you know what you're going to get every night. And this is going to be a time now for Cameron to, you know, to have consistent starting minutes. And I think for him, you know, and he's been talked to about this, for him, he just has to kind of let the game come to him. And the other night when he was making those threes, you know, Zach was the ball handler a lot of the time. And, you know, if Cameron can get his feet set and he can shoot those threes standstill instead of on the move, he can make those shots. And I think that was, you know, proven the other night. But he just has to let the game come to him. I thought he made a couple of very good defensive plays, you know, steals in transition and getting down on the floor after the ball. I also think, you know, he did a pretty good job on Kemba Walker. Kemba ended up with 20-something, but, you know, he was averaging 35 coming in the game. I thought he really competed against him. So, but we have added some young depth to the point guard position, and you know, it'll remain to be seen if Shaquille Harrison, you know, can get some minutes. But, you know, the guy we don't talk about is Ryan Arcidiacono, and be honest with you, Arch. Right. Gives us something. He comes in, he competes. I think we all love the way he plays. And, you know, the other night, kid made two big baskets in the fourth quarter for us. And, you know, Ryan's the perfect example of what I'm talking about. You know what you're going to get from him every night. And, you know, he's not a big minute player. But with our situation right now, with the injuries, he's going to play. And I know every night that he's going to go out there and compete.
Same guy on the court every night. And so, I mean, you know, I think you and I have made that observation that, like, you know, Cam is a roller coaster of, wow, when he's bad, he's really bad. And when he's at his best, he might be a little bit better than Archie Diacono, who just stays steady and consistent. It's like a roller coaster if there were no ups or downs, but just like you got on a coaster that just went straight ahead without making any turns, dips, or rises at like 2 miles an hour. So like
it's like one of those little train rides at the mall.
Yeah, exactly.
Kids go on for
it's,
Santa.
It's
and
a
stuff.
Mall. It's a mall walkway train ride.
I like the comparison. I look at it too. When he was talking about with Cameron Payne, there was also a little nugget from Darnell Mayberry of The Athletic, said that before the game on Wednesday, Cameron Payne stayed extra time. And I know there's Bulls fans that are going to roll their eyes at this story and whatever, but I thought it was a good piece. Like, him and Randy Brown were in the gym for anywhere from a half hour to an hour after practice had ended, just working on Cameron Payne's shot. And that actually translated to Wednesday night, where Cam Payne dropped 7 threes and a half. So please, I'm just asking for him to build off of that performance. And I'm not asking him to go out there and shoot and knock down 7 threes again. That would be great, but that's not the expectation. Just go out there and be a guy that looks like he can actually play decent rotation minutes the way that the Bulls have pitched this
right.
since they made the trade for him in OKC about 2 years ago.
Well, and so. That was the other thing that Paxson said, is that, you know, obviously you saw a lot of us running the offense through LaVine on Wednesday night, you know, with no Chris Dunn. And when Cam catches, sets his feet, and shoots, he can knock down those shots, and he can be a very effective player in that regard. So, you know, clearly Paxson is already aware of the fact that in Dunn's absence, it's going to be a lot of LaVine being a primary ball handler and Payne being a guy who is a threat off the ball, who's confident in knocking down some shots. Because, you know, like, Paxson didn't come right out and say it. He said it in the nice way by complimenting Cam Payne's shooting performance from Wednesday, but essentially said, Cam, catch and shoot, good. Letting Cam dribble, bad. So, I mean, I'm with him there.
Yeah, definitely. And this is the most I ever thought we were going to talk about Cameron Payne this season. And it's already happened in the first 4 games. So this is pretty crazy. Before we get to some of the other stuff we're going to do on the show today, there's one other thing I want to touch on from this Paxson interview, but we'll get to that on the other side of a break. But I wanted to remind our listeners, The Athletic, I had brought it up earlier about Darnell Mayberry and some of the great writers they have over there at The Athletic. Right now, we've partnered with The Athletic to give our listeners 40% off a 12-month subscription to The Athletic. That's only $2.99 a month. It's a couple packs of gum. It's the coffee you spend in the morning, all for a month's worth of sports content that you're going to get nowhere else. It's 40% off the regular price for our listeners. Simply, all you have to do is go to theathletic.com/lockedonbulls. That's theathletic.com/lockedonbulls. If you don't know what The Athletic is, it was founded here in Chicago and is a subscription-based publisher of smarter sports coverage for diehard fans. No ads, no pop-ups, no autoplay videos. Subscribers have access to local coverage of all 5 teams here in Chicago, as well as national coverage from writers like Seth Davis and Ken Rosenthal and more. TheAthletic.com/LockedOnBulls for 40% off. Do it right now. Be back here on Locked On Bulls in 60 seconds. Stay with us. Back here on Locked On Bulls, hit us up 331-979-1369 or on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Matt, the final thing I wanted to get into about this interview was a good job from Mullenhaw of asking about how to evaluate Fred Hoiberg. Because obviously, it's hard to evaluate a guy when he's missing 4 of the main pieces he needs in order to actually see what he can and can't do as a coach. And I thought the response from John Paxson was kind of known at this point.
Well, I think, you know, we're in it every day with Fred and his staff. And, you know, I am a big believer in how the game is taught from a fundamental standpoint. We just had a great, maybe one of the greatest teacher of the game in Tex Winter pass away, a week or so ago. And I grew up in that school of coaching is teaching. And it's teaching fundamentals, because the only way to be able to successfully execute anything you do on the basketball court is if your fundamentals are sound. And so my evaluation comes from watching the staff every day. If they're teaching the game, especially to our young players, if they're teaching the proper things. And to be candid with you, Fred and Jim and I had a lot of conversations over the summer about fundamental concepts, you know, just footwork and things like that. And they've been true to that type of teaching. So that's what I look at. And look, this is a very difficult situation for the coaches right now, given, you know, the amount of injuries that we have. But I also think it gives them an opportunity to you know, maybe experiment with some things. You know, mm-hmm. our game is so different now than it was even 3 or 4 years ago. It's, you know, it's so more wide open. It's much more small lineups. I was watching a game the other night. I mean, he basically had, you know, two point guards, two wings, and a basically a power forward or a small forward playing the center position. So the game is so much different now. And I think that this gives our coaches an opportunity to maybe experiment with some things and work on, but continue to work on the fundamental aspects of the game. That's very important to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine that Paxton said that. I don't really care. I don't really take that for face value at all. I still think there is a good chance that Fred gets fired before the season is over, because they need a scapegoat for this roster assembly that they made not going well. And yes, some of the excuses that can be made for Fred and for his bosses are attached to injuries and not having a healthy roster. But, you know, anything that he says that is a vote of confidence in Fred this season, I'm taking it with a grain of salt, because I think that Fred is the most likely candidate to be the fall guy for a season that does not live up to their expectations, regardless of what Paxton said about tempering their expectations from a wins and losses standpoint.
Right, and they said, you know, talked about depth and not having depth on this roster. They kind of contradicted themselves. Like, this summer they said that they felt like they had a young core with a lot of depth. That was something that they pitched the fan base after draft day and even coming into media day. But now at this point, like, we've had four injuries and I don't see depth anywhere. So I know in part it's probably not all Fred Hoiberg's fault, but I think I'm starting to lean more towards the idea that I think if this goes south, if any of these injuries are longer than 4 to 6 weeks, we could probably be saying bye to Fred Hoiberg before the season is over. But I think everything has to go terribly wrong for this team. And it's no fault to Fred Hoiberg's. Like, yeah, he's had some faults as a head coach, but he also has gotten the shit end of the stick, and sometimes that's happens. You can't fire all 12 players, and you can't fire the front office. They won't do that. So you need a scapegoat. And so I'm starting to lean more in the favor of your take, Matt.
Yeah. And, like, you know, that it's not to say that Fred will have been a complete failure if that's what happens. I'm just saying sometimes people get fired when it's not their fault, or it's not entirely their fault because somebody else needs something. Somebody is needed to be the person that they pin it on. And we know the relationship between ownership and this front office. And if something needs to be done that is a change for the sake of change, it'll most likely be Fred.
All right, so let's get to previewing the Hornets tonight, Matt. You had mentioned first and foremost, I think Kemba Walker is a good sticking point here. He didn't have the greatest of games on Wednesday night, but I think coming back to his home crowd, he's going to want to repeat some of the performances he had early in the season. He came into the games, I think, averaging like 35 points a night. He only dropped 23 against the Bulls. So I think I'm looking for Kemba Walker to have a turnaround night against a depleted Bulls team. So I think the main goal for me tonight is not to get blown out and embarrassed by 30.
Yeah, that's certainly, you know, you got to start somewhere. And yeah, you got to start by trying to slow down Kemba, which they did a respectable job with in their game on Wednesday. The other key to me is, can that second unit play as well and with as much effort and hustle, especially on the defensive end, as they played with on Wednesday? And what will Chandler Hutchison most likely, going into the starting lineup, do as far as affecting that second unit and how effective they were, especially in that run that they made in the second quarter on Wednesday? Because other than LaVine pouring in his points and trying to slow down Kemba Walker, that's what Wednesday's game was about. The Bulls bench outperformed the Hornets bench. Can they do that again with another injury added to the pile?
The weird thing is the Bulls and the Hornets, if you look at their advanced stats through five games for the Hornets, through four games for the Bulls, it's pretty equal, man. Like, offensive rating, they're identical at 111.3. The Hornets have been a little bit better defensively at a 109.1 defensive rating to the Bulls' 117.2. The net rating overall, Bulls negative 6, Hornets 2.2. But if you look at the rest of their advanced analytics, you look at assist percentage, the assist to turnover ratio, you look at the rebound percentage, efficiency field goal percentage, and true shooting percentage, they're within 2 points of each of those. So this Hornets team is, it's as weird as it is to say, oddly similar to what the Bulls have been doing so far this season too. You think about it, like think about Kemba Walker having to take over games in order to win it for the Hornets. Same thing here with the Bulls. The Bulls have been in games because Zach LaVine is dropping 30 plus a night. So weirdly, this Hornets team, while they're still trying to figure things out, and I think they're going to be better throughout the season, I'd be kind of similar to what the Bulls are doing right now through four games. So I don't know if you take that with any type of concern, with any type of optimism for this team tonight, Matt. But yeah, not letting Kemba Walker drop 30 to 40 tonight would be ideal as well.
Yeah, and I certainly think we didn't see the Hornets' best game on Wednesday. And coming in with an ability to watch the game tape from Wednesday, make adjustments, and playing this one at home, like I said, it's going to be a tougher task for the Bulls to pull out another W in the second end of this little home and away series. And if I were a betting man, I'd say it's pretty likely that Kemba's dropping 30 plus tonight. So will the Bulls have enough to counterpunch that?
How many points does Zach LaVine have to score in order for the Bulls to stay in this one tonight?
Close to 40, I think.
I think you're right too. How about who else is going to step up as far as players, you know, without Bobby Portis now, who's the next man up? Who are you going to look for tonight that has to be the secondary score to Zach LaVine?
I mean, it's probably got to be Jabari. Like, you know, I don't have faith in campaign having another night where he drops 7 3-pointers. Like that is a next to zero likelihood. And, you know, for all the nice bench pieces that we were, you know, raving about with their performance on Wednesday, Blakeney, Archie Diacono, Hutchison, who's now going to get put into the starting lineup, Felicio, who had a good game out of nowhere. Like, what are the odds that all of those guys play as well as they did on Wednesday? So, to me, it's LaVine leading the way, and hopefully Parker has a decent shooting night. Maybe he has another night where he can knock down a few threes. He was 0-for-2 from behind the arc on Wednesday. Because without Bobby now, like certainly in that starting lineup for the first handful of games, Bobby was your second go-to scorer and he's out. So it's LaVine and it's Parker, and hopefully at least one of the other role players manages to, you know, have a nice shooting night, because if not, then they don't have a chance.
I want to see Wendell Carter Jr. get involved more too. At this point, you know, we talked about how everybody said that he was overshadowed at Duke, and we said it the same way. Overshadowed by Marvin Bagley, feels like his offensive potential is still there. It just hadn't been showcased. This is the opportunity to do it. You don't have Bobby Portis. You don't have Lauri Markkanen. You don't have Chris Dunn. You don't have Denzel Valentine. This is the opportunity to show us at least tonight. Let the guys shoot 13, 14, 15 shots tonight. Why not? Especially if the Bulls are down a ton. I also want to see Zach LaVine and Wendell Carter Jr. run the pick and roll a ton. I think when Chris Dunn came back for this single game this season, the way him and Wendell Carter Jr. were running the pick and roll early was working, and then they kind of went away from it. So I would like to see him and Zach LaVine maybe try to form some chemistry tonight and work something. But yeah, second unit, Jabari Parker for sure has to come out and score maybe 20 plus tonight to keep this Bulls team in it. But more importantly, I want to see what Wendell Carter Jr. can do offensively, because outside of the first quarter, he's been pretty limited.
Yeah.
So that's my key.
I would love to see more opportunities for Wendell tonight. They haven't really had many moments where they run their offense or through him. But with Bobby going down, great opportunity to give the rookie some more some more looks, let him try and get that post game going a little bit. Because, you know, like you said, Fred's gone to him a few times in the post, but you know, for whatever, like, and he's shown some promise. He's shown that he's got the fundamentals working from the block. He's just had some missed layups and some missed little baby hooks and some things that, you know, by all accounts, it's a good shot. It's a high value shot that should be a high percentage shot. And, he's just hasn't had a lot of luck with the rims thus far. So I think it would be good for his confidence if he gets some early looks you know, from around the basket that go in, and you know, who knows, maybe we could see our first like real offensive impact game from Wendell tonight.
Yeah, and Cody Zeller and Willie Hernan Gomez aren't world beaters either, so let's take advantage of that opportunity while we have it in front of us on Friday night. Got to take another short break here. When we come back, taking all of your voicemails, have a handful to get to. 331-979-1369 is our line to hit us up. Text and voicemails there. Be back here on Locked On Bulls in 60 seconds. Stay with us. Back here on Locked On Bulls, 331-979-1369, the number to hit us up. On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls. On Instagram, at Locked On Bulls. Go give us a follow there. Doing some great content over there. You're missing out if you're not following us. So at Locked On Bulls, both of those places. First up in the voicemail line, one of our regular callers in Corey Salmon. He's got some words for us as far as what he's seen through the first four games.
Hey guys, this is Corey Salmon again from the LA area. I just want to say a few things. First of all, I'd like to tell you all I should leave sports commentating and talking about sports. I should leave it to the pros. I should leave it to you guys. You guys are pros because y'all hit on everything y'all said this past summer. Y'all said Jabari Parker is not going to be worth nothing. And it's proven out. You're right. You're absolutely right. He's atrocious on defense. And you said that the Bulls probably only going to win 20-some games. And you hit that on the head, on the nail. So that's probably right. Come to find out today that Chris Dunn is out 4 to 6 weeks. So, and I don't know if it was you, Matt, or I don't know which one of you all said it, but you said to the notion of that if the Bulls come around maybe in March or close to the end of the season and they not in no playoff contention, that they need to go on and tank. And not win as many games so they can get back in the lottery. You hit that right on the head. That's what they need to do. And give me y'all take on the things that I just brought up, because y'all was absolutely correct. Y'all hit on everything y'all said is true. So hit me back and let me know what y'all think about this situation. Or is we giving up too soon? You think it's too early in the season to feel that you all was correct? What you think? What's your take on it? Bye, guys.
Thanks for the call, Corey. This is funny. As much as we love to hear that we've been right, it's only been four games. So, Matt, I will give you some credit, because Corey Salmon gives you credit here, too. Is he said, whoever said the fact that if we're at March 1st and the Bulls are way out of it, not even close to playoff contention, not even close to that 8 seed, the Bulls should try to lose as many games as possible, tank to try and get that better lottery position. While I'm not still in favor for that right this second, makes more sense now. But again, gotta preface all of this with it's only been four games and the Bulls have had four main injuries to their rotation pieces.
Yeah, it's hard to take this sample size with all the injuries they're dealing with and say, you know, shut it down, tanking season part two. But, you know, that hasn't changed, that I didn't think even if healthy, this Bulls team would be good enough for a playoff spot even in a weak Eastern Conference. And, you know, Bulls optimists say, you're crazy, you're nuts. If this team is healthy, of course they're a playoff team. I'm sorry, I haven't seen it. So, like, I don't get any enjoyment out of the fact that now with these injuries, it will be even more likely that I turn out to be correct in the estimation that they are not a playoff team and that they should be tanking again. Because, you know, it is a young core that we're trying to figure out whether, like, who's good, who's worth keeping around, who fits well with whom. And I want to see some of that succeed. But in a talent that is, or in a league that is driven by talent, I don't think the Bulls have enough of it. And I sure would like to get some more towards the top of that draft class. So, you know, I don't know about y'all, but coming up on college hoop season, I am going to be watching a lot of Duke basketball, because that trio of Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, and Cam Reddish, I would love any of those guys to be added to this Bulls roster. And you bet your butt, Corey, that if the Bulls now, even more likely, are on the outside looking in as far as the East playoff picture come March 1st, turn around and run like hell towards the top of that lottery list. That is in this team's best interest, no doubt. Don't give me that crap about, well, you know, playoff experience as a young eighth seed. No, this team needs more talent. Go get some.
Next caller, this is Nicholas from the 312. He's got some questions about LaVine and now with Chris Dunn being out.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Nicholas. Just calling in to touch on this Chris Dunn situation. I know he's gone. It's only 4 to 6 weeks, they say. I'm thinking more like 8 to 9. But my thing is Zach LaVine. See, with all of the chaos going on with, you know, Dunn being out and us lacking talent at that point guard position, Zach LaVine is one of those prideful players that's going to take on, like, massive amounts of work and weight when he doesn't have to. So he's going to try and carry this team to victories when he doesn't have to. And my fear is with an ACL tear, he's going to end up hurting himself just by going into overdrive. So what do you guys think about pulling Zach LaVine back just a little bit, or, you know, maybe another option? And I don't want the Jabari stance to get out of, you know, order with this, but what if we package Jabari up with, you know, Silicio or somebody and just get like a Chris Dunn level point guard or somebody that's, you know, mediocre that can carry us through these games, you know, as a point guard? We got to do something. We have so many bigs and so many options, but our point guard position is just so weak. Yeah, we have multiple names at it, but it's just weak. We need somebody that's, you know, like I said, mediocre that can get us through games as a okay offensive player and a pretty good defensive player, or okay defensive player and a pretty good offensive player. But I don't think it's right that Zach LaVine going to take on all this chaos right now. And he's so explosive. Those kinds of players, especially coming off an ACL tear, I've had one myself. ACLs are hard. Yeah, he looks good and acrobatic now, but too much work, that boy's going to get hurt again. We got to find a way to get him less, you know, workload. Let me know what you guys think. Hope all is well with everybody. With all the injuries and everything going on, it's still C Red. So let's keep this up and keep going. Talk soon. Take care.
Thanks for the call, Nicholas. So a couple things here. First, I don't know about pulling LaVine back, but monitoring how much he is playing throughout the first beginning of the season is probably something they're already identifying. They probably knew it back in training camp. But at this point, like, you don't really have much choice unless you're just willing to mail it in for the next 4 to 6 weeks and say whatever, and we'll keep LaVine somewhere around 30 minutes. He hasn't shown any reason why you should have some sort of leash on him either. They did that back in January, February, March, the last part of the season, but he hasn't shown any reason why to take minutes away from him. His usage percentage right now is at 32.3. That's the fourth highest among players over 15 minutes or more this season. So, yeah, you're going to see LaVine's usage rating go skyrocket now in the next 20-25 games. But I don't know about having a leash around LaVine's minutes when he hasn't really shown anything that said, oh, we should be worried in that area.
No. I couldn't disagree more with what Nicholas is suggesting here. And, you know, that's no knock on him. I understand what he's saying. I just don't agree with it. LaVine is playing like one of the best offensive talents in the league right now, averaging 30-plus. The Bulls, you bet your ass, want to continue to see that because they want to show the league and show their fan base, see this guy that we got in the Jimmy Butler trade? He is legit. He is for real. He is premierly talented. Oh, and by the way, that contract, just shy of $80 million that we matched, that everybody was whining and complaining about, that's going to look like a steal of a contract when it's all said and done. They want themselves to be that right about Zach LaVine. And they, you know, that's my slightly cynical, this is what the Bulls front office wants out of this season scenario. But for Zach LaVine himself, he spent all offseason working on his body and working on his game, not from the rehab standpoint, but from the I am healthy, putting work into my game standpoint. And it has shown. And that guy has all the confidence in the world right now, and you don't want to see him lose that. And yes, it's always a little scary when you're seeing a guy who has an ACL tear in his past doing all the things he's doing and making these cuts and leaping through the air like Zach LaVine. But guess what? That's the player that the Bulls traded for. So let him be that player.
Absolutely. And if you start worrying about, well, this guy could potentially get injured, you're not going anywhere. If you consistently worry yourself with, well, we've had injuries all over the place, maybe we should reel it in with the one guy that is healthy. Like, to me, you don't do anything. You don't help the player out. And look, LaVine, if LaVine had some scares where all of a sudden he had to come out or he sprained something that was day-to-day or there was a reason to be worried, then I would say, sure, this makes sense. But there's been no evidence of that, so I wouldn't reel it in at all with LaVine. And you're going to need him. You're going to need him to stay in these games for the next 20-25 games.
I mean, if it comes to the final 8 or 10 games of the season, you know, once we get to the back end of March and into April, if the Bulls are in a tight tanking race as far as lottery positioning, then yeah, do what you did last season and come up with some fake Zach LaVine injury to try to get yourself a few more losses at the end of the season. But then and only then does it make sense, in my opinion, to prevent Zach LaVine from doing all of the amazing things we've seen him do thus far.
The other thing I wanted to touch on in the second part of his question was going outside, and I touched on this earlier in the episode. The Bulls aren't going to go outside to look for point guard depth. It's just that simple. John Paxson had just said it. They signed guys that have been waived and were free agents, and they don't have any roster space to do any of that anymore. So they're not going to, and they don't have anything on this roster that any other NBA team wants. And you're certainly not going to package Parker and Felicio, who are owed a combined $28 million in matched salary for somebody. Like, no team in the NBA would even entertain that idea. And I'm sorry, I'm not taking Mike Conley off the hands of the Grizzlies for that disgusting contract. So that's not even a possibility for the Bulls at this point.
No, I don't see them making a trade or making another signing. Roster's full. Both two-way contracts are full. This is what we got. This is what they have to work with, love it or hate it.
Use those two-way contract guys, too. Like, I get the training camp started with the Windy City Bulls this week, but use those guys. They had to use them last year. They used Antonio Blakeney early on in November last year. Use those 40 days when you actually need it, and that is right now. So use those 40 days with those two-way contracts.
Absolutely. And see if any of those guys are worth keeping around and see if they're better than the guys that Fred has in his rotation right now.
All right, next voicemail from Mike in D.C.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Mike from D.C. I just have three words for you. I told you. All offseason, I've had to listen to many, many Bulls fans talk about how Lauri Markkanen is a budding superstar and how he's the new face of the franchise and the number one option and all of this stuff. But I told you, Zach LaVine is better than Lauri Markkanen. Zach LaVine, his ceiling is higher right now than Lauri Markkanen. Zach LaVine is the person that you build around. Now, Markkanen is not a bum. I don't think Markkanen is a bum. I don't believe in his talents as a first option face of the franchise guy. I think he's a building block who contributes to the person that you build around. But Zach LaVine, for this Bulls roster right now, Zach LaVine is the person that you build around. He's literally, I know it's just three games. It's a very small sample size. But right now, he is literally averaging what Lauri Markkanen's career high is. Right now, he's averaging that. That is a person that you build around. This is a guard league. You do not build around a big man. You can't win that way. That's not how the NBA is designed in today's age. So with that being said, my question for you guys is, I'm obviously expecting LaVine's average to come down from 32.5. But what is a realistic expectation that Bulls fans can have regarding Zach LaVine and what his stat line would look like if he plays all 82 games and whatnot? Also, speaking of all 82 games, I also told you guys that you're putting too much weight on the fact that he only played 20-some-odd games last year. He was coming off that injury. I think that a lot of weight, Sandy, he wasn't worth his contract and all of that stuff. You guys put too much weight on what he did coming back from that ACL injury in just 20-something games rather than giving him the whole season. So with that being said, that's my question. And like I said, I don't think Lowry Martin is a bad player. I just don't think that that's a person that you build around, because you can't win in this league building around a big man. It's a guards playing league. Yeah, talk to you guys soon. Just wanted to check in and see what you guys had to say. All right, talk to you soon.
All right, Mike, I would tell you to slow your roll for a second. Look, Zach LaVine, he's been great. Yes, he is better than Lowry Markkanen right now, this very second. I get that. But I also think there's some recency bias here. Obviously, watching LaVine drop 30-plus points in the first four games of the season is fantastic. We haven't seen anything from Markkanen since the last season. So I can understand where you think that maybe LaVine is the cornerstone of this team rather than it is Markkanen. I feel like that's a little bit of a recency bias. But my question is like, why can't both of those guys be cornerstones of this team? They're not going anywhere. LaVine's going to be here for 4 years. Markkanen's going to be here for 4 years. So why can't both of those guys be the cornerstone, right?
Yeah, this is not the first time we've heard this from Mike. And, you know, we always appreciate you checking in, buddy. And it's like you have this infatuation with the fact that this summer, Jordan and I talked about Markkanen as being the guy we had the highest hopes for and who we saw the highest ceiling for, because he was a first-team all-rookie selection and he absolutely deserves to be. He looked like a steal as the seventh pick in the 2017 draft. Yeah, we were really high on LaVine or on Markkanen all summer long because he was the brightest spot in a really dark season last year. And Jordan and I both had our reservations about the player Zach LaVine could be coming back fully healthy after a 25-game sample size last season where clearly the leash was still very short and he was not his athletic self. So, like, you're arguing against something that is, you know, not that doesn't need to be argued. Obviously, LaVine has been dominant so far offensively, and defense, still a work in progress, but he's working on it. And the recency bias thing that you said, Jordan, absolutely. I mean, I don't know about you, Mike, but I have not forgotten how good Markkanen looked last season. And if you want to say LaVine is the number one option, LaVine is the alpha, LaVine is the go-to, fine. I don't care. You are free to say so. But it does not take away from the fact that Markkanen, as we observed last season, looked to be the guy with the highest ceiling on this young core. Now, maybe that's shifting with this is how good LaVine could be, at least on the offensive end, when fully healthy. And we'll see how that plays out this season. Now that Markkanen's hurt and LaVine is healthy. But, you know, you're getting all worked up about 1A versus 1B. And I think the right answer, which you said, Jordan, is they are both cornerstones of this roster. That's what matters.
You hit it right on the head. It's 1A, 1B. We shouldn't even be having this conversation about who is who. Like, the Bulls aren't even at a point where we're like, okay, we need to worry about something kind of minute at this point. Like, it's not even, shouldn't even be a concern at this point. But I think it is recency bias, and that's not a knock on LaVine either. That's a good thing. It's a good thing that we've got a guy that we thought was going to be the cornerstone, and you signed LaVine and you didn't know what he was going to be, and now he's looking like everything that we thought we traded for a year ago. So those are two good things. The other thing that he had mentioned too, Matt, I wanted to bring up, was the fact that he said you can't build around big men, but the Bulls just spent back-to-back lottery picks on big men, so that wasn't really a choice of ours. I think Matt and I both said this at the time, that the Bulls drafting Markkanen and then back drafting Wendell Carter Jr. back-to-back isn't necessarily the landscape or the mold of the modern NBA and how to be successful. But that's the choice the Bulls made. And really, they didn't have another option. Go and look at those two draft classes. And while Donovan Mitchell popped off in the 2017 draft class and the 2018 draft class, there wasn't much guard choice. Would you rather have had Colin Sexton than Wendell Carter Jr. at this point? I didn't really want to, because you had Chris Dunn. So I get it from the standpoint that you that the league is built by guards that are stars, and I agree with that. And it's not the avenue the Bulls decided to go with. So I don't know, from that standpoint, I'm in agreement with you that the NBA hasn't screamed success when you build around big men.
That's absolutely a fair point to make. But, you know, to me, as you said, would I rather have Wendell or Colin Sexton right now? I think I'd rather have Wendell, because of all of the things that he projects to be as a versatile big in the NBA and a perfect modern big for the NBA. Yes, you need a stellar guard who can score in a lot of different ways and facilitate for all of his teammates on the floor to be a championship contender in today's NBA. That is 100% true. We don't think the Bulls really have that guy yet because Dunn can't stay healthy, and when he is on the floor, he doesn't look to be that kind of offensive player as far as backcourt pieces go. So, yes, this Bulls team needs a star guard. They don't have it right now. But it doesn't mean that I'm upset with them selecting Markkanen and Wendell in back-to-back draft classes, because I think they nailed best available player that filled a need in those two draft classes.
Absolutely. That's huge. That is exactly what I was thinking. And you could have had a Malik Monk. He was available in 2017, but he hasn't been better than Markkanen. You could go through all the what-ifs of the guards that were out there, but the Bulls traded for two guards that they felt like, okay, we want to try these guys out as opposed to just stacking it up in the draft class. So, yeah, it makes sense. They went with two bigs because those were the two best players available, and you redraft 2017, Markkanen's going top five, top four maybe, and Wendell Carter Jr., we'll see. Maybe a year from now we redraft and we're saying Wendell Carter Jr. should have went higher than seven. Final voicemail of the day, Jordan from Tampa. This one should be short and sweet, Matt.
Hey, guys. What's going on? This is Jordan from Tampa. I'm calling in because, one, I don't need to talk about Jabari Parker sucking on defense and giving up game-winning shots. Two, realistically, Fred should have played at least Hutchinson in the fourth quarter because it's garbage time. Give somebody some freaking confidence. But I'm really here to talk about Reggie fucking Miller. Excuse my language. And I guess the broadcast for national TV. I don't know if you noticed, but they played 90% LeBron James. And then also they played about maybe 9% Philadelphia and 1% information about Chicago. What is that? Why do we need Reggie Miller talking about Markelle Fultz's jump shot or talking about ACLs and everyone on Chicago Bulls? What about the fact that Wendell Carter Jr. or maybe Antonio Blakeney just made impacts on the Chicago Bulls? I feel like no one really gives the Chicago Bulls any love whatsoever. And it's honestly pretty annoying. I get it. You have to broadcast to the majority. However, learn your information. That's probably what you're getting hired for. Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. Please talk about the Chicago Bulls heat that we need and deserve and information that is correct.
Thanks for the call, Jordan. I know you're aggravated like I was at the opening night with Reggie Miller not talking about the Bulls, the main broadcast not talking about the Bulls. And I've come to my senses and realized, the Bulls don't get any credit because they're rebuilding. What they tried to build before didn't work, and now they're in a reset button. Of course nobody nationally is going to talk about them. And when you got playing a 76ers team with Embiid and Simmons, I can understand why the majority of the talk is going to be about that team. But I am in agreement that they could have done a better job of talking about the young pieces the Bulls did have, and they didn't do that. They went the route of, let's just talk about the injuries and let's make fun of Wendell.
Yeah, and the other thing I would remind you of, Jordan from Tampa, is Reggie hates the Bulls. The Bulls made Reggie Miller miserable for his entire career. The reason Reggie Miller, one of the greatest shooters of all time, arguably until, Ray Allen's later years and now when Steph came around, the greatest NBA shooter of all time and a perennial all-star, battled Jordan back and forth every year for most of his career, and the reason he's not wearing a ring is Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. So, of course, Reggie's going to throw shade at the Bulls any opportunity he gets. And it's not just Reggie. The way that Bulls fans felt about LeBron's heat, the way that Bulls fans feel about,
any team that has LeBron on it in the Eastern Conference over the last, you know, decade and a half is how the entire league and NBA fans everywhere felt about the Bulls in the 90s. I mean, and there is still hate there. The Bulls got six titles, and for us, it feels like forever ago. But for fans and broadcasters across the league, the Bulls are still the Bulls that owned this league, and nobody needs to do them any kindnesses, and nobody needs to do them any favors, and nobody needs to shower them with praise when they don't deserve it, because this league is still, you know, experiencing PTSD from the days when MJ and the Bulls ran everything and ruined people's careers.
I'm in agreement with you. Like, nobody's feeling bad for the Chicago Bulls. We have six championships. Like, nobody feels bad for us. And a lot of, I didn't even make the connection to Reggie Miller as far as his hatred going back to his playing days, which makes a lot of sense. I think the last thing I was going to touch on too is just saying, you know, should the Bulls have had everybody healthy, I think there would have been more mentioned, more talked about points of emphasis for marketing. So that's a factor there too. The one final thing, Jordan from Tampa, thanks for listening. We'll be here all season long for you. So the national broadcast might not be talking about the Bulls, but we're here 5 days a week talking about the Bulls, Monday through Friday. So keep it tuned in, keep it locked in here to Locked On Bulls, and we'll give you the coverage that the national broadcasts aren't giving you all season long. But that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. You can hit us up 331-979-1369. You want the fan base to hear your voicemails, your opinions, and your thoughts on the Bulls. Hit us up there, 331-979-1369. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Hit us up on social media, on Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, enjoy tonight's game. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday for a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com